From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 28th day of October, 2020. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Vakes from Total Farm Marketing. She's in Hollister, Missouri. And Drew Lerner will join us from World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City to take a look at the weather forecast on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. Find us online. Listen to us on demand anytime you'd like at willag.org, or if you'd prefer to use one of your favorite podcast applications, just scroll all the way to the bottom of the page there and you'll find links for places like SoundCloud and Stitcher, NPR One, Spotify, Google Podcast, and Apple Podcast too.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
December corn today down 14.5 cents at $4 a penny and a half. The March at 404 and a quarter, 12 and a quarter lower. And July corn at 405 and three quarters down 11.5 cents. Next year's December at 382 and three quarters, 8.5 lower at the end of the day. November beans 25 lower, 1057 and a quarter. January 1054 and three quarters down 21 and three quarters. And March soybeans 19 lower, $10.41 and three quarters. July 16.5 lower. They finished 10.35 at a quarter. November beans $9.65 a bushel, down 13 cents for the day. The bean oil futures 69 cents lower. The bean meal at the end of the day down $7.80. Wheat futures July soft red for the afternoon, 5.97 and three quarters. The settlement price 8 lower, and the July hard red down 5 and three quarters at $5.60 and a quarter cents. Live cattle futures the October a dollar higher at 105.85, December at 104.67.5, 62.5 cents higher. Feeder cattle at 87.5 cents higher, finished at 135.17.5. November at 133.90, up $1.60, and December lean hogs for the day at $66.37.5, $1.27.5 higher. The crude oil for the afternoon at $2.25 lower, $37.34 a barrel. Ethanol futures about 8 cents lower, heating oil down 4.5 cents, and gasoline on the RBOB 6 2/10 lower at $1.08 6 1/100 cents. The Dow Jones Industrial Average 26,500, around 850 points lower on the afternoon. The dollar is up 0.5 at 93.43, and gold futures are down $37.90 for a troy ounce. We're now joined by Jackie Vake. She's at Total Farm Marketing out of Hollister, Missouri. Hey, thanks so much for being with us on this busy afternoon, Jackie. Hope you're having a really great day there.
Well, I'd be enjoying it more if it wasn't cold and rainy, but I'm still enjoying it. Every day is a good day, no matter how you look at it.
Every day is a good day. Let's talk about the things we usually talk about to begin with. Support and resistance. Why don't you start there?
Already, and I've made a couple additions this week, Todd. I decided that considering what we've been doing here in the marketplace, it's important for us to be paying attention to December 21 and November 21. So they will be weekly charts. Everything else is monthly. So you look at December, we've got support at 403, resistance 428, and the crossover at 305. March, support 389, 415 resistance, crossover 302. When we get to December 21, we have 379 for support, 391 for resistance with a crossover at 394. On beans, January, 1024 support, 1089 resistance, 1042 is the crossover point. When we look at March, 1042 is support, 1099 resistance, 1040 crossover. And the November weekly chart says 949 for support, 987 for resistance. And we are currently trading below the uptrend line. So hopefully we'll be able to pull back out of that. Dow Jones, support 25,230, resistance 29,568, crossover point 24,730. We've got the dollar index trading closer to that 92.06 support level, with 94.65 as the resistance level there.
What's managed money been up to?
Kind of interesting. I did go back because I wasn't on with you last week and look up where they were a week ago. So on soft red wheat, They're currently 40,000 long. They were 66,000 last week. Corn, 245 long, 228 last week. So they added to their corn, reduced their wheat. Beans, 248 long. Last week, 247 long. So not doing too much in beans. Soy meal, 93 long compared to 91 last week. And soy oil, 88 long compared to 81.
Exports have been a bright spot. Does that continue?
It does. Wheat exports are running about 4% ahead of a year ago. We were 6% last week, so we're still well ahead. The USDA is seeing a 1% increase on the year. Corn, 75% ahead of a year ago, but that was 77% last week. USDA is seeing 32% up for the season. So you can see we've been really, we're doing a lot of front loading, so we got to hope that it keeps on moving. Beans up 78% on the year compared to 77 last week, with a USDA prediction of 26% increase basically for the year.
What do you think about trade in Chicago today?
Interesting. You know, I'm sure for some people, gut-wrenching, but it's not a big surprise in a lot of ways. You know, the grains today were just following the outside markets, I think, because there's all these concerns being expressed in Europe about COVID and, you know, whether they're going to lock them down again and the impact that it could have on those economies. And then, you know, you magnify everything with the coming U.S. election next week and how the outcome is going to affect agriculture and the economy and the U.S. in general. So I think I would probably characterize this as balancing. They're working on, you know, the funds are doing some balancing. They're moving around. And, you know, you can't expect the market to go up, up, up every single day. You know, I watch the put options really close. You know that from working with me for years on a pullback. Today, July corn puts are just not gaining at a pace that you'd expect from this strong a setback. So it says to me that people aren't running to the options just yet. And puts and beans, however, are following a lot closer to the futures change. And the thing that's bothering me a little bit is we're hearing that basis is getting much wider on this move down. Now, that's a little scary. That's what we've been watching all this time to see what basis was doing. Now, there's still no carry in the bean market, Todd. You know, demand is all in the front 2 months. So, you know, if guys are sitting here saying, oh, well, maybe I should just sit on beans for a little while. Don't sit on your beans for a little while. Here's where the demand is right now. We know that. Sell your beans, buy a call if you want to have some continuing interest in it. You know, when you look back on corn, I'd say a carry doesn't exist, okay? There's only 3 cents from December to July in carry. So there, too, they're saying, well, you know, we'd like your corn now. And there's something else that's in the background here, Todd. On the 1st of November, our daily limits are going to change. And so, you know, they periodically review them and then change them. So corn is going to remain at 25 cents on a daily limit. Beans, however, are moving to 70 from 60. And wheat is remaining at 40. So all of that has an impact, too, on the funds and the managed money and how they look at dollars and cents. You know, that changes the risk perspective in the marketplace and more than likely may require more margin requirement. And so, you know, it's just, it's all part of the marketplace.
The CME Group used to change those when needed. Now they change them on a schedule. So that happens in November and in May. I don't recall whether they have a lever by which they're able to change it if needed. I suspect they probably do, or if they need to, they would. But it is a scheduled change. Right. Anything out of Brazil and Argentina today?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's quite a bit going on down there. You know, the weather's improved quite a bit. We saw them, on beans, they advanced 15% in the country last week, so now they're 23.5% done. But that's still behind their 34% average. You have to look at it and say beans are probably about 2 weeks behind. So it really shouldn't affect the yields from everything that Dr. Cordonier says, unless December and January are really hot during pod filling. But the other concern with being 2 weeks behind is they're exposed longer to bean rust. And we're already seeing some cases of bean rust. You know, they've been really successful down there controlling bean rust, primarily because of the early planting that's going on. And so it's one of the things that I'll say this. The other big concern that we have to look at is approximately 55% of their anticipated bean production nationwide is already sold down there. So, you know, for some farmers like in Mato Grosso, they're approximately 70% sold. In fact, StoneX reported that as much as 70% of Brazil's total crop could be sold. And so that would be before the harvest comes in, right, at the end of January. So, you know, we may not see the normal harvest pressure on bean prices that we normally did just because of how much they've advanced sold. I bet you they are just not sleeping well down there, you know, and being concerned about. And this bigger percentage has basically been sold at lower prices. It wasn't sold in these higher prices where we're at now. So corn supplies remain extremely tight down there, Todd. And those feed manufacturers are really having a hard time getting anything, you know, for the next several months, including into January. So, you know, they get enough money and everything. The farmer has enough money. So, you know, he may not just sell his corn. He's kind of holding tight because he's thinking that there's going to be even higher spot prices. So we'll see once. You know, they lifted the tariffs. Nothing's happened so far as far as them buying from us, but the possibility is certainly there. Argentina, not as much news. Just bean planting is just starting. They've got 1% to 2% planted. Corn planting's at 27.5%. That's behind the 34.2% average. Other than that, they continue to just struggle with the economic issues that they've got down there. And I don't think that's going to be changing anytime soon.
How about from China?
Well, we always have something to talk about with those guys. But, you know, lately we've seen quite a few headlines saying that China's 71% complete on their phase one trade agreement purchases. You know, we are 83% through the year, so they're going to have to really be diligent. And I think that's one of the things we're all concerned about when it comes to the elections next week and just whether or not China's going to continue to be as good as they've been lately. The Office of Trade, the U.S. Trade Representative and the USDA yesterday issued a report that kind of highlighted the progress that we've made to date. And this is what they had to say. Corn. Outstanding sales of U.S. corn to China are at an all-time high of 8.7 million metric tons. Soybeans. U.S. soybean sales for the marketing year 2021 are off to the strongest start in history, with outstanding sales to China double of the 2017 levels. Sorghum. U.S. exports of sorghum to China from January to August 2020 totaled $617 million, up from $516 million for that same period in 2017. So, you know, we're hitting some high levels back before everything kind of fell apart. U.S. pork exports to China hit an all-time record in just the first 5 months of 2020. Beef products and exports to China through August of 2020 are more than triple the total of 2017. So they also said, in addition to all those products, USDA expects 2020 sales to China to hit record or near record levels for pet food, alfalfa hay, pecans, peanuts, and prepared foods, which I thought was really good. Prepared foods. I didn't truly realize that China imported a lot of our prepared foods, but I guess they do.
Well, we'll see how all of that goes. Of course, the Chinese expected to purchase something like $36.6 billion worth of agricultural commodities by the end of the year.
Yeah.
$12.9 billion have been purchased now. If they're on track, that's
right.
About 71% right. of where they should be.
Yep.
At around $19.4 billion back yep. in September. So that's the numbers they're working with at this moment. Hey, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. Have a great day.
And Jackie Vakes is with Total Farm Marketing out of Hollister, Missouri. In today's agricultural news, U.S. Environmental Protection Agency Administrator Andrew Wheeler has announced the approval of 5-year registrations for 2 dicamba products and extending the registration of an additional dicamba product. All 3 registrations include new off-target control measures. Administrator Wheeler says farmers now have the certainty they need to make plans for their 2021 growing season, and that after reviewing substantial amounts of new information, conducting scientific assessments based on the best available science, and carefully considering input from stakeholders, he, as the administrator of EPA, believes the agency reached a resolution that is good for farmers and the environment. Through the action, EPA approved new registrations for two over-the-top dicamba products, Extendamax with Vapor Grip technology and Ingenia herbicide, and extended the registration for an additional over-the-top dicamba product, Tavium Plus Vapor Grip technology. These registrations are only for use on dicamba-tolerant cotton and soybeans, and will expire in 2025. To manage off-site movement of dicamba, EPA's 2020 registrations feature important control measures, including requiring an approved pH buffering agent, also called a volatility reduction agent, or VRA, to be tank mixed with over-the-top dicamba products, requiring a downwind buffer of at least 240 feet, and prohibiting over-the-top applications of dicamba on soybeans after June 30th nationwide, and cotton after July 30. EPA also plans to simplify the label and use directions so that growers can more easily determine when and how to properly apply dicamba. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. You're listening to the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. Find us online. Listen to us on demand anytime you'd like at willag.org. That's our website. If you'd prefer to use a podcast application, why not just scroll to the bottom of the page there? And you can pick your favorite places like Spotify and SoundCloud, NPR One, Stitcher, Apple Podcast, and Google Podcast too. However you listen, thanks for joining us here at the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City is now on the line to talk about the weather forecast, not only here in the United States, but around the planet. Drew, thanks for being with us. Can you start with the hard red winter wheat regions in the United States? They have had a tough fall. Is it getting better or not?
It is getting better in quite a bit of that region, but there are holes that are going to continue to be quite dry. The biggest improvement so far, and we still have 24 hours left in the storm system, but the greatest moisture so far has been from south central Kansas into all of Oklahoma, and at least the eastern half of the Texas Panhandle. Those areas have all had at least a full inch of moisture. There's an area in central Oklahoma that's had 2 to 4, almost 5 inches of rain, only over a couple of counties for the 5-inch amounts. But nevertheless, a big improvement. They went 30 to 40 days without any precipitation in a lot of that region. And temperatures, of course, not too long ago, were way above average. So the moisture in the soil was really tanking. And we saw that reflected in the USDA crop report earlier this week. But the moisture that has occurred now, a big part of that area I just described is certainly looking at better conditions. But from the heart of Kansas into the southeast corner of Colorado, we've not even had, I don't think we've had 1/15 of an inch of moisture in some of that region. And so dryness is certainly going to prevail there. And there's some of the drought-stricken counties in northeast Colorado and southwestern Nebraska have also come up empty-handed. So we've probably whittled down the worst of the dryness in the hard red winter wheat areas by half. But there's another half that probably needs a pretty good dose of moisture still.
In the Midwest, especially the southern Midwest and the Delta region, it looks like they're going to be wet trying to finish up the harvest season.
Yeah, that's right. Thanks to this upper-level low in the southern plains and a little moisture coming up from the Hurricane Zeta, we will see yet another 2 days of rain in the lower Midwest and definitely in the Delta. Some of the Delta is going to see 2 to 4 inches of rain from this combination. And the lower Midwest will probably pick up on 1/2 to 1.5 inches, could be a couple of greater amounts out there. It's already wet in the lower Midwest. You know, we were very dry, I think a week or, well, it's been 2 weeks ago. And now, of course, we've turned the corner there, and it is plenty moist, and we could use a several-day period of dry and warm weather before we can get back in to some of those wheat fields, and for that matter, even for the harvest of some of the summer crops.
I'm going to turn your attention to South America. Let's start with Argentina. Things better there?
Oh, yes. Argentina, over the past 2 weeks, has had a really good distribution of rain. The exception would be in northern Cordoba and Santiago del Estero, which is kind of the northwestern part of grain and oilseed country. But the heart of the production areas, corn and sunseed, sorghum, even soybean country, has really had a nice drink of water. The topsoil is now adequate to surplus. Subsoil moisture is still low, but we do have a couple of additional rain opportunities coming up over the next 10 days to 2 weeks. Not as good as what we've just seen, but definitely enough to support the crops that are going to be pushed into the ground real quickly here over these next 10 days or so. So Argentina looks a lot better than it did.
I'm told that rainfall has started in parts of Brazil and that planting has ensued. Is that the case?
That is the case. The precipitation distribution in Brazil, though, has been very erratic. This would have been fine if it was the first part of October, but for late October, this is still a little unusual. But they're getting enough moisture, I think, that the majority of the cropland will be seeded fairly quickly and get those plants into the ground up and developing. There is definitely a need for more moisture, greater volumes of it. As we move forward through this next 10-day period, it looks like southwestern portions of Brazil will not be seeing a lot of rain. We've got one event that's going to occur here today and tomorrow, and then after that, I think they're going to miss rain for about 7 days, and the next round of precipitation that comes through there is going to be fairly light. You may recall that in La Nina years, southern Brazil does have a tendency to be a little dry biased. It worries me a little bit to see this drier, or I should say below average precipitation bias prevailing in that area so early. So we're going to be watching this area quite closely as we move forward through the heart of November to see if this becomes a persistent feature or not.
And we probably should finally check in on what's been happening with the wheat crop, winter wheat crop, in Russia and parts nearby.
Yeah, there was a little rain event that occurred a week ago in a small part of Russia's southern region, which helped to bring in at least a temporary relief in a small part of that region. I think it represented maybe 20% of the dry area over there. Well, now we've got a bigger event that's on the charts here for Friday through Monday of this coming weekend, and we will see the moisture totals run from 2/10 to 7/10 of an inch, maybe some local 1-inch plus amounts. So a nice little event for eastern Ukraine and the western portions of Russia's southern region. So this will probably add another 50% of the dry region getting enough moisture to be relieved. So we are shrinking that area down. But, you know, it's pretty late. It's almost November. And those crops over there quite often are dormant by now. And so they're buying a little time. But I don't think there's going to be enough time, to really get the crop up and looking very good before dormancy sets in. So they'll have at least the moisture in the soil. And if the crop can survive the winter, it has a pretty good chance of improving in the spring.
Hey, thank you so much.
You bet. Have a great day.
You too. That is Drew Lerner. He joined us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. He's with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City.